Let's get started. Good evening, everybody. I think this is our last From the Rabbi's Desk shiur for the season. Ezra Shem will pick up next season. I'm pretty sure it's the last one for the season. God willing, over the summer there will be many, 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 many other shiurim based on why he's advertising. So it looks like we'll have an opportunity to learn together in other contexts. But this is the last one for the season. Okay, so we'll go through two shilas that came up this week. One I was asked, and another one I was not asked. So, but Rav Asher Weiss was asked, and I thought it was a fascinating case. It was asked to him by a friend of mine. So we'll start with the one that Rav Asher Weiss was asked. Rav Asher Weiss was asked by a friend of mine who's a Rav in Queens, and he has a member of his shul who is a researcher, a bioresearcher, and they're doing a lot of work now in Mount Sinai to try to come up with a COVID vaccine, with a coronavirus vaccine. And the shaila was that they're working tirelessly to try to come up with a vaccine. Obviously, they think that this will ultimately save thousands, if not more, lives, and they want to be able to get it to market and mass produce it as soon as possible, and they're making significant progress. They're making real, real progress. But the fellow wanted to know, he's a critical member of the team that's working on this vaccine, and he wanted to know if this is a pikuach nefesh situation that would allow him to continue to work on Shabbos in order to work on the vaccine. This would involve getting a non-Jewish driver to drive him into the hospital, and while he's there, to work with computers in order as far as Malacha is concerned, that's all it would involve is working with computers, which the Shoel to Rav Asher Weiss, this Rav in Queens, said is obviously only an Isser Midrabanan, so would we be Matir? Nisser Drabanan B'makom, what could be Pikuach Nefesh to Rabim? It could be a very significant Pikuach Nefesh. So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two I got was, I guess it's not much of a shaila, but it's an interesting it's an interesting story and an interesting topic in general. A fellow told me that that recently his grandmother was getting surgery. She was going in for surgery, and when she was still like delirious from the medication, from the whatever you call it, from the anesthesia, she started calling out names. So she was calling names of family members, and then there was one name she kept throwing in there that wasn't a family member, that no one had any idea who it was, whose name she was calling. So she started calling out these names. So when she came to, they said to her, you know, we knew most of the names that you were calling, but there was one name that, you know, that we didn't recognize. And apparently this near-death experience brought her to make a confession, a startling confession. And she said that this name that she was calling was a non-Jewish man with whom she had a relationship for an extended period of time while she was married still to their grandfather. And, they said, how serious a relationship? She said, pretty serious, and she pointed to one of her children and said, you are a product of that relationship. Whereas the other of her children, she said, are not a product of that relationship, but one of her children is a product of that relationship. Whoa. So this was a pretty stunning confession for the family to hear. So now the grandchild wants to know, am I allowed to trust that my parent is not a product of that relationship just because she says so? Do we know that that's true, that my parent is not a product of that relationship? And if I am, and if they are, am I a mamzer? And are my first cousins mamzerim? Because they're supposed to be products of this relationship. And I'm going to be holding in shiduchim soon. Is this something that I have to tell people when I'm involved in shiduchim? Is this something that needs to be mentioned? That, oh yeah, by the way, funny story, but my grandmother had this situation. So those are the two shilas. So again, the first shaila about the Rav Asher Weiss was asked from Rav in Queens about the coronavirus vaccine and whether you can be Machal Shabbos in order to find the vaccine. And the second shaila about this startling revelation and to what extent there is ne'emanos in the startling revelation. So Wow. Okay. So far. Okay. Let's take a vote. Let's keep voting, everyone. So far, it's a pretty one-sided vote, which is not the one that I was prepared to really speak about. But okay. Let me get a. Let me just get an Ebenezer. Hang on 1 second. It's a good thing I'm home. oh, it's stuck on the shelf. Okay. So. Yeah, is that still the one that's winning the vote? Oh, no one else is voting? All right, so far it's whoever voted, there's only one person that voted for one. Okay, so I guess we'll start with two. So the dinim of, I say it's not really a shayla, and the reason it's not really a shayla is the following, meaning most of what we could talk about, it would really be in the realm of the hypothetical, because dinei mamzerus appear in Ebn Ezer, Simon Dalit, Mihem ha asurim lava bakal the ezu a nikram mamzer. What is a mamzer? So Shulchan Aruch writes that when it comes to a mamzer, if you have a non-Jew that slept with a married Jewish woman, then the resulting child is not a mamzer. Let me find the halacha here. In Seif Tezvav, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Isha, Eishas ish, sheyatza leh kol, sheyisa mezana tachas baila, vaakol merani nechre, ein chos shin lebeneha, shemehim amzerim, shirov bilos talim bebal, avul hi ba'atzmecha chos shin la mishum zona, v'koin chos shin la midin Torah. Yisrael, and Rotzal Yisrach, and Me'akir, so that's talking about where there's just a suspicion that she's having a relationship with other people, with other Jewish men, and nevertheless, we're going to assume that when she's having a relationship with other Jewish men, that still the children are not mamzerim, because rov bi'ilos are achar haba'al. But that's not the relevant halacha that I was looking for. Where's the relevant halacha that I was looking for? Ah, here it is. I thought it was. Mamzer haba al ha'akum. Akum ve'eved shabo al ha'mamzeres. So if an akum or an eved has bia with a mamzeres, havlad mamzer, the child is going to be a mamzer. But ve'im bo'u al bas Yisrael, if an akum or an eved is bo'u al bas Yisrael, Bain Ashes Bain Pnuya Bain Ashes Ish, whether the Bas Yisrael is a single girl or whether she's an Ashes Ish, Havlad Kosher. The Vlad is going to be kosher, the Vlad is not going to be a mamzer, but Upagum Lakuhuna. The Vlad is going to be Pagum Lakuhuna. So if you have a married woman who has Bia with a non-Jewish man, then the resultant Vlad is considered to be not a Mamzer, is considered to be a Kosher, but is nevertheless Pagum Lakuhuna. And the Beis Shmuel points out that the reason is, the Kaimulan, Kol Makum She'in Kiddushin, V'lo Karinun Kitiyana, Lo Karinun V'yoldilo. That whenever there's not going to be a Tfisas Kiddushin, with such a relationship, with such a person, so we're not going to have the din of Mamzerus. So that is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So really, it's an open and shut case, right? His shaila is, am I a Mamzer? And the answer, or are my cousins Mamzerim? Is there any chshash of Mamzerus? And the answer is absolutely not, right? That there is no concern of Mamzerus in this case. However, in a case where someone is concerned for mamzerus, let's change it a little bit. Let's say you have a guy who doesn't know. He knows that his mother has been through a lot of different marriages and other types of living together arrangements, and has a mixture of children from all different fathers all over the place. And a person knows that he personally was conceived through an affair that his mother had, and she never even told him who his biological father is. So what does he do? What does a person like that do? Where the chashash is that the father's actually a Jewish person and the mother was married to somebody else. So is that child a mamzer? What kinds of questions does he need to ask? So a child is a mamzer if he's the result of a relationship between a Jewish man and a Jewish woman where there's no tefisas kiddushin. A child that was born to an unmarried woman is not a mamzer. mamzer, right? Child born out of wedlock is certainly not a mamzer, but if the woman was married to somebody else at the time of conception, then that's eshes ish, that's adultery, and the child would be a mamzer. A woman, in order to avoid mamzerous problems, obviously should try to, we try to make sure that even women who are not religious receive a proper Jewish get, and there are many people that have worked very hard to make sure that when she gets divorced, she can receive a get, so that children from future marriages and future relationships would not be a mamzer. So now the questions that a fellow would need to ask is, the ways to get out of it, so to speak, to figure out a way to be mitayer, is first thing you'd want to ask is, how sure is he that his mother's Jewish? Meaning, if his mother's not Jewish, then he may need a gerus if he wants to be a Jew. I mean, he would need to be megayer, but he would not be a mamzer. So how sure is he that his mother is Jewish? Was she married to a Jew at the time that she cheated on her husband? Maybe the man that she was married to at that time, maybe his Judaism is questionable, in which case, she's not an Eshes Ish, and therefore he would not be a mamzer. If she was married to a Jew, was she really married? Meaning, what kind of wedding ceremony was it? Was it a ceremony that actually involved an actual tefisas kiddushin? Was there a maisa kiddushin that was done? Were there two kosher edim? And maybe if the wedding was not a kosher wedding, maybe the child wouldn't be a mamzer anyway, because she wasn't really even married to her husband. So all of these are the kinds of questions that one would need to ask in order to come to an answer as to whether they're dealing with an issue of mamzerus here or not. Now, let's say you had a case where someone was a mamzer. So what do you do then? Right? You have a person who's a mamzer. He's not allowed to marry anyone except for a mamzeris, right? So, you're allowed to marry your first cousin, right? So if all the cousins are all mamzerim also, so they could all marry each other. But that's probably not a great idea. We don't want to be marbe mamzerim b'Yisrael. It's probably not a great idea to be marbe mamzerim b'Yisrael. There's a Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Aleph, talks about whether there's even a mitzvah of pru revu for a mamzer. He has a way to be able to have children that are in a way that's mutter for him, but the children are going to be mamzerim. So do you have a mitzvah of pru revu when what you're bringing into the world is a major yichus problem, right? So that's a discussion in the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Aleph. But there is a way that a mamzer can get married and that his children will not be mamzerim. And that is that if a mamzer buys a shivcha kananis, if a Jewish man buys a shivcha kananis, so the mamzer can then be with the shivcha kananis, midin shivcha, and the children are going to be miyuchas achareha, and not miyuchas acharav. So in such a case, maybe the mamzer could become can have a family, right? This is based on the Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin. The Mishnah tells us yicholim mamzerim letaher. Mamzerim can be metaher, not themselves; they can never become tahor, but their children can become kosher. Ketzad mamzer shenasa shivcha. If a mamzer marries a shivcha kananis, havlad eved, then the child has the din of an eved. Shichrero, then all you need to do is be meshachrer your own child, nimtza ben chorin, then the child is going to be a full-fledged Jew, and he's not going to be a mamzer, because he's not miyuchas achrov, he's not miyuchas after the father. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon lechadchila ka'amar, that this is even a din lechadchila, this is what he is supposed to do. And the Tosfos Riyah Zaken writes over there, halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon, de mamzer nosei shivcha afilu lechadchila, da afilu isurit rabbanon leka, that a mamzer can marry a shivcha, even lechadchila, it's not even a violation of an isurit rabbanon. They never made a gezeira about a shivcha to a mamzer because they wanted this possibility of takanas banav. So there is no iser, not only there's no iser min haTorah to marry a shivcha, even midrabanan there's no iser to marry a shivcha. This is in fact his best bet, and that's what the Rambam paskins. The Rambam Perek Tezvav Meisur Rabia Halacha Dalid Hitiru lemamzer lisa shivcha kidei letayras banav. So Mitzvahs Habanim. They simply never made the Gzeira, and the reason they never made the Gzeira is Mipnei Takanas Habanim, because they wanted that there should be a Takana for the Banim, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Ebenezer Simin Dalid Si'iv Chaf Mamzer Haba Ala Akum Havlad Akum. If a Mamzer is a Ba Ala Akum, the Vlad is an Akum. Vim Nisgayer Harem Ki Yisrael. So if a Mamzer sleeps with a non-Jew, the child's a non-Jew, and then if the child is Megayer, the child's a Jew and not a Mamzer. Vim Bala Shivcha Havlad Eved. If the Mamzer is with a Shivcha, the Vlad is an Eved. Nishtachre Ben Chorin. So what should you do? Tell him intermarry? Chas v'shalom. You never tell anyone to intermarry. But marry a Shivcha. That you're allowed to do. Yisrael's allowed to do. Lefichach Mamzer Nosei Lechadchila Shivcha Shekiblo La Mitzos V'tavla L'Shem Avdus. Just have a Shivcha who's Tavla L'Shem Avdus, and that would be Matir, the children. So that is a great Eitzah, it would seem. So the question is, that the contemporary poskim dealt with, is that something that we would allow Bizman Hazeh? Is that a good idea, Bizman Hazeh, to be Mitar Mamzerim in that way? How would you do that? What would you do is you would find a woman who's anyway considering converting, who's considering Gerus, and you would say, you know what, instead of converting to Judaism, convert to Shivcha, meaning allow me, instead of, you know, they fall in love, let her fall in love with this Mamzer, and instead of him instead of her going through a Gerus and becoming a regular Jewish woman, who he would be allowed to marry, but then their children would be Mamzerim, he would say, look, here's the way out of the Mamzerus issue. When you are Toveles, not L'Shem Gerus, do it L'Shem Shivcha, and I will buy you as a Shivcha Kananis. And then, after we finish having our family, I'll be Meshachra you, right? And I'll be Meshachra the children, and the children will then be Jewish, and everyone will be happy, and there won't be any Mamzerus anymore. So can you do that? So there are a number of issues with doing that. The Minchas Yitzchak has a series of tshuvas on this topic, and it's fascinating. In Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter writes that the Mishnah, you know, he quotes this Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, and Rav Shechter writes, Upam hiskir echad min atalmidim b'fnei rabenu sheyesh baze arichus shel kama tshuvas b'minchas Yitzchak. That the Minchas Yitzchak has lots and lots of tshuvas on this topic. Where the Minchas Yitzchak discusses, can you even do this now in America? So this Bachur, Sester of Salvechik, can we even do this now in America? V'tza'ak alav Rabbeinu b'kol. And Rav Salvechik answered loudly. Rav Salvechik was not happy with the question. And what he said was, V'halo, Lincoln shichrer es kol ha'avadim shebimedina zu. Lincoln already freed the slaves. You can't make a shivcha. So what did he mean by that? Meaning, therefore, there's nothing to talk about. So says Rav Shechter, Ukumeduma li, Shebishas Maisa, Hiskavin Rabbeinu Lomar, Shtenu Kudos. Where Salvechik meant by that when he said, what are you talking about? Lincoln freed the slaves. He meant two things. Number one, Shezeye Nagadina de Malchusa. That it's against the Din of the Malchusa, meaning Emancipation Proclamation. We know you're no longer allowed to have slaves. So you can't go buy a Shivcha, even if she agrees. It's illegal. So it's against the Din of the Malchusa. So that's why you can't do it for that reason. That it's hard to imagine that she would seriously view herself as a Shivcha Kananis. Meaning knowing that there's no such thing as a slave anymore in America, it's hard to imagine that she would take it seriously and really view herself as a Shivcha Kananis. So the whole thing is going to be a joke. The whole thing is going to be a harama. She's not going to really take it seriously, and therefore the whole transaction is not going to be a valid transaction. So that's where Salvechik was not a fan of that. It should be noted that many poskim do utilize this. There were situations where great poskim of Sternbach and others utilized this method of being mitar mamzerim. So as far as, you know, is the child going to be is anyone in the family mamzer? They're not anyway, because the whole shaila was it was a guy, so there's no mamzerus. If it was a Jew, then you'd have a real shaila. Then you'd have to look at the original marriage of that grandmother and see if she was in fact really married. You'd also have to look at her ne'emanus. Now 40 years later, she has the Ne'emanus to just say, oh yeah, by the way, you're a mamzer, you're not? Hard to imagine that she would have that kind of Ne'emanus after all that time. Although, the fact that she was Masiach Lefi Tumo at first she was just saying it, you know, without any prompting or any kavana, lends some credibility to her story. Also, we want to know how she knows. How does she know that that child is from that person without a DNA test, without anything? How does she know that it wasn't from her husband? Meaning, after all, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we generally assume, Rov Be'ilos Achar Abal. So this is not a Mamzerus issue, and it's not even really a Pagam issue at this point. So because of the lack of Ne'emanus, and because this fellow's the grandmother did not say that this fellow's mother was a result of that marriage. So and it's very likely that the grandmother's own marriage was not a kosher marriage. She was not frum. This was not a case of a woman who was otherwise frum, who had this terrible yetzer hara for these kinds of related. This woman was not observant in any of the mitzvos. So it's very likely that the marriage originally, when they had the marriage, was not a valid kiddushin, was not a valid marriage. So it would not reflect at all on his own yichus, on his own status. Okay, good. So now the question becomes, he wants to know, do I have to reveal something like this in shiduchin? So I don't think so. I think that that when you when you talk about your family and you say, oh, my parents are balei tshuva. So that's a loaded statement right there. Everyone knows my parents are balei tshuva means that before that, there was, who knows what happened. There was a different lifestyle, and thank God my parents had the courage and the strength of character and the yearning for kedusha to become balei tshuva, to draw close to a life of Torah mitzvos. But I don't think we have to start asking detailed questions after that. And I don't think there are any assumptions that everything was absolutely perfectly kosher before that. Once you assume that the people were not living a religious lifestyle, meaning clearly they know that therefore your parents are probably b'nei nida, right? Because the grandparents, if they weren't religious, weren't observing Taras HaMashpacha. But you don't ask those questions. You just assume. Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva about that also. A guy had fallen in love with a balas tshuva, and he said that we're dating, and it's going great, and he's a yeshiva bachur, he loves her, he thinks she's fantastic, she's a balas midos, she's everything he could ever want, she's a tsunua, and all of the wonderful things. But she's a balas tshuva, so it must be that her mother was a nida at the time of her conception. So should he be choshesh that that's pogame her midos in some way or another? Because Chazal say that a ben anida has a certain level of of a pagam in their personality or something. So should he be choshesh for such a thing? So Rav Moshe says adrabba, you shouldn't be. Rav Moshe and the stipler both answered that question, and they both said not to be choshesh, but for different reasons. Rav Moshe said adrabba, it's a clear raya that she's not a ben anita, she's not a bas nida, if her midos are so wonderful. Probably what happened was her mother, before she was conceived, was at the beach and went into the ocean, and it counted as a tevila, and therefore she was tahora, probably at the time that she was conceived. Otherwise, she wouldn't have had a daughter that turned out so well. So it must be that she was really tahora. That's where Moshe writes. Stipler said something a little more, I don't know, palatable, a little more believable, where the stipler said, no, adrabba, that's all the more reason to marry her, that she was able to overcome. She had two strikes against her when she was born, and she still became such a tzaddikas. Can you imagine the strength of character of this person? Can you imagine what a tzaddikas she must be, to have worked to get to that point that she overcame when she, being born with those midos that Chazal think exist, that Chazal tell us exist? So it must be that she's a really, really special person. So it's more reason to dafka, yes, marry her. So I don't think something like this, to make a long story short, I don't think something like this really has to be revealed in Shiduchim. Okay, let's get to the other Shaila. What about, unless anyone has follow-ups on that one. So what about the other Shaila? What about the Shaila about the going to work in the lab for the vaccine. So Rav Asher Weiss has a fascinating mahalich over here. He wrote this tshuva on Hey Sivan right before Shavuos, and he wrote as follows. He said, first of all, your assumption, dear Rabbi, that working a computer is an iser derabanan, he said, is not true. He says, I don't agree with that assumption that that working a computer is an iser derabanan. He says, everyone knows minchas asher chelik aleph siman lamed minchas asher chelik beis siman lamed dalid, where I went through the, how the malacha of makah bepatish is such an unusual malacha where everything that is that has a sense of creativity and chashivos, but doesn't fit neatly into any of the other categories based on the Yerushalmi, is going to fall into the Makkah Bepatish bin, is going to be a Malacha Da'araisa. So therefore, all overt use of electricity, not covert use, but overt use of electricity is going to fall into Makkah Bepatish. So using a computer, that's a Malacha Da'araisa. So I don't know where you're getting this idea of Malacha Da'rabanan from. Meaning, I do, it's from every other posting, but he says, I don't know where you're getting this idea of Malacha D'Rabbanan. This is a Malacha D'Oraisa. Okay, but Malacha D'Oraisa would be Pikuach Nefesh. So maybe we could be Mekel for Pikuach Nefesh. So he says, it's Yadua, the Shita of the Nod B'Yudah. Nod B'Yudah is a Tshuva in Madura Tinyani, Yardea Simin Reish Yud, where he talks about someone who had a gallstone surgery. And apparently the person died on the table. They died from the surgery. And the doctors wanted to do an autopsy to learn more about people who suffer from this illness, from gallbladder illness, and they wanted to use this body for medical research so that they could better treat patients in the future. So Shaila is, are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to do an autopsy in such a case? So the Nodi B'Yudah said, no, because you're only allowed to do it when it's Pikuach Nefesh, and Pikuach Nefesh means not that, oh, maybe we'll find something out that will allow us to treat patients in the future that have a similar issue. No, it means Chalal Lefaneinu. It means that there's someone right there that needs the help that you're going to be able to help by doing this autopsy. But if there's no one right here, Lefaneinu, that needs the help, and you don't even know that you're going to uncover any critical information, then absolutely not. You're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer in Atshuva says that you're not allowed to donate your body to science based on this Nodeb Yehuda, even though yes, we do find out things from bodies that they study and from scientific research, but it's not nearly direct enough and it's not nearly immediate enough. We don't know that there's a Chol Lefaneinu that's going to benefit from it. That's on the one hand. But then Rav Asher Weiss says, but on the other hand, the Chazon Ish writes in Yerideas and Reish Ches Ozayin that the real reason that we don't allow for doing autopsies for further medical research, and we don't donate our bodies to science, is because ein donim b'shvil asidos rechokos. It's all based on the fact that what are the chances that there's going to be any immediate benefit? Meaning, yes, there may be something learned somewhere far off, and it might happen. But it's not called Lefaneinu doesn't mean that it has to be Lefaneinu Mamish. It means it has to be something that's likely to save lives. Asidos Rechokos, something that's a far-fetched possibility and not likely to save lives, that you're not allowed to violate any Yisurim for. So says Rav Asher Weiss, so wait, according to the Chazon Ish, maybe you should be allowed to go work on Shabbos, because this is not Asidos Rechokos. Kuli alma lo pligi, that there's going to be a vaccine for the COVID virus. Right? Everyone seems to, everything you hear is that there's going to be at least one company, probably many companies, that develop an effective vaccine for the COVID virus. So this is not Asidos Rechokos. This is something, it's just a matter of how long it takes. But it's going to happen. That's what everyone seems to believe, even though everything anyone's ever believed about this virus has been proven to be wrong. Hopefully this thing will be right. Right? So that's not Asidos Rechokos. And therefore maybe it would be mutter. But then says Rav Asher Weiss further, there's a tshuva in the Machne Chaim, who was from the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer, where he says that even the Nodeb Yehuda was just would have been matir in that case if it would have yielded knowledge that would have been useful even without a cholam mamish lefaneinu. But knowing that there are people that come in all the time with these kinds of problems, the Nodeb Yehuda would have been matir. It was a chashash pirtza. The Nodeb Yehuda was just worried that now now all of a sudden all the Jews are going to donate their bodies to science, and it's going to be, even when it's not going to be any direct benefit, any help. That's what the Nodibita was really worried about. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss, so it sounds like maybe in our case, where it's not Chashbi, you're trying to save thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands potentially of lives. So maybe it would be Mutter. So says Rav Asher Weiss, I don't think so. Here's why I don't think so. Rav Asher Weiss says it's chiddush. He says my chiddush is, he doesn't think it's a chiddush, but you know, I mean, he doesn't say it as if it's a chiddush, but he says la'nias daiti near tfei, that the real chiddush of the Nedib Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer is that medical research is not called pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is when you have a situation where you have a cure that will involve chilul Shabbos. So to cure the disease with Chilul Shabbos, to cure an illness, an ailment, someone who's suffering with Chilul Shabbos, for Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to do that. To find a cure that you do not yet have, that does not rise to the level of Pikuach Nefesh. He said, Yesod Godol Bedine Pikuach Nefesh, Shehatzala Asidis, Upituach Trufos V'Teknikitu Chadome, Einom Bechlal Pikuach Nefesh Lidchos Yisurim. That is not a pikuach nefesh of tzoch yitzurim. Our mitzvah in the Torah is to be matzil nefashos with whatever means we have to be matzil nefashos. Now, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in a way where we have this burning desire to want to know more and to learn more, and that's good. It's good that we have that, because that's how we make medical advances. I was just listening to an interview last night where I couldn't sleep last night, so at like 3 in the morning I was listening to an interview with Rabbi Phil Moskowitz from Boca Raton. Was talking to a doctor, Chashev, a doctor from Harvard, and the doctor from Harvard was saying that there are certain diseases, certain cancers that would have been a death sentence a few decades ago. And now it's like people all the time go on to live full lives after having this. And this is because of medical research, right? And Phil was saying, because Rabbi Moskowitz was saying, that the doctor said, for example, if you were diagnosed with a testicular cancer in 1960, that was it. You were done. It was good night. So and Rabbi Moskowitz was saying, yeah, he had testicular cancer a few years ago, and now Baruch Hashem, he's training to run marathons, and he's living. You know, that's great that we have this desire to advance, this desire to grow in our medical knowledge, but the opportunity to do that is not considered immediate pikuach nefesh, and therefore says Rav Asher Weiss, nira du'a din benidon didan. Ach ba'emes, he says, however, maybe it's different when it's not just a disease that some people get, but it's a magefa that's attacking the entire world, and there are thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of new cases every single day, and it doesn't seem to really be going away. And even when it does go away, no one has a real good explanation of it. One of the doctors was just showing me today the numbers in the 5 towns of how many positive tests we've had in the last week, and he showed me, you know, each week from like, you know, 6 weeks ago where it was 70 tests that week to 70 positives down to 60, and I think we were down to 1 last week. Not one hospitalization, no hospitalization, 1 positive test. What happened? Everyone was dying 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and now all of a sudden it just disappeared. So I said, I asked the infectious disease specialist, what's the explanation? He said, there is no explanation, al piteva. We don't have any explanation. And, you know, it's frightening because we don't know if it will come back either. Meaning we have no explanation of how it left. We have no explanation if it's going to come back. We have no knowledge if it will come back. So we don't know anything. But it's all over the place. So to come up with a vaccine is going to be such a life-saving thing. And even when there's no chiyuv to save, you're still allowed to be mechal Shabbos. And he brings in order to save a life, he brings a raya from Tosfos Maseches Bava Metzia. Eliyahu HaNavi was metame himself to bring back to life the Ben HaTzarfis. And Tosfos asks, aye, but Eliyahu was a Kohen. Now is he allowed to violate the Isser? So he says, Batu Achaya Sheyichayehu. He knew that he would be able to bring him back to life. Yeah, but There's no mitzvah to do tchias amesim, right? The mitzvah is to save a life. There's no din that you have to do tchias amesim. Elamai, what do you see? Even when you don't have a requirement to save a life, if you can and you know that it for sure will, then you're allowed to violate isurim in order to do so. Even when there's no chiyuv to do so. So you may not have a chiyuv to do medical research, but if you know that developing a vaccine is going to save hundreds of thousands of lives, then you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for it. But Rav Asher Weiss said, but you can't. He said, you can't do it. Why not? He said, with all due respect to this fellow from Queens who thinks he's saving all of humanity, there are hundreds of companies throughout the world that are working on a vaccine. And that this guy is going to be the answer, and that his working on Shabbos is going to be what saves everything. He said, let me ask you, are all of the other researchers in all of the other companies not going to take a day off between now and when a vaccine? It's natural. People need a day off. Of course people are going to take a day off, and people are going to go to sleep at some point, and people are going to... So work on Sundays. You know, work late at nights. Do it. But to say that you are the answer, he said it might be an inflated sense of his own importance if he thinks he's the answer, you know, that he's going to be the one that finds the solution. Therefore, he says, Tamtzis Tevreinu, he concludes his tshuva, Mikivan Shemadubar Mechar Alami, Rav Malkadisha, Iyafshar Klal Aksuv Zman, since we're dealing with a worldwide effort that you cannot know when it's going to end, you can't call this pikuach nefesh, and therefore we cannot be mekel. Okay, so as a for the last year of this month, we answered both questions, and we went a little over time. I apologize for going a little over time, but everyone should have a wonderful summer, wonderful evening, wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for keeping the shiur going even on Zoom throughout the past several months. Yashar Kovach.